in dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help. I venture to draw your prayerful attention to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The first word of our text is a very important word, though it is a very small word. It is a distinctive word. It is a separating word. The verse previous speaks so solemnly of the day that is coming, the day of the Lord, when time shall be no more, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Solemn words indeed. Neither root nor branch. But here is the transforming word. Here is a word concerning those that shall not be burned up, those that are not counted as stubble, those who by the grace of God have both root and branch, spiritual life and spiritual fruit. But unto you. So, friend, before we take another step in our meditation tonight, we do well to seek that the Lord, by the Spirit, will search out our hearts and reveal to us where we stand, that we may be delivered from a false hope, a dead profession, that it may be well with us. What is the distinction here? What is the mark of this people that shall be preserved in this great day of the Lord? It is that fear my name. It is quite evident in the days of Malachi that the love of many had grown very cold, and there was much religion, but a dead form. I shall not take time to go through the history of this prophecy, but it is well known to you. And yet, midst a solemn declension, there's a little number. It would seem a small number in those days. They were marked out as different, marked out with the possession of the fear of the Lord. And this fear of the Lord, as we've often named, is not the dread of the slave. A slave fears his master, has no love for his master. I'm speaking in a general way. He will do, he will obey, because he's got to obey. But if he could get away from obeying, he would do so. But those here that fear the Lord do so not by just a legal command, but in love to the Lord Jesus, to fear him, to obey him, and to walk in his ways. And the fear of the Lord, as I've often named, works in a twofold way. It goes one way and goes another way. A separating influence, and it's a cleaving influence. It calls at times for sacrifice. It calls at times for the believer to courageously stand for what is right in the face of much opposition, the face of scorn and ridicule of the world. Because the fear of the Lord in the possession and walked out in a believer's life will manifest itself in a distinctly different life to the ungodly. It will be seen in the smallest details of life as well as the larger details of life. And so, as the fear of the Lord is in exercise in our soul, as the light of heaven shines in our heart, it will shine on those things that were perhaps dear to us. Perhaps we did not see wrong in them. Perhaps we indulged the flesh in them. And now we are brought to a point of challenge, I was going to say. A decision. A crisis. Here is something in my life. Now what am I to do? I love the Lord. Now if I love the Lord, I know that in the fear of the Lord, I cannot go and continue in those paths as before. For example, we may even say, apart from doing things, where before one might not have so many, I was going to say, a scruple about a half lie or not speaking up. Now we are brought to a challenge and feel that, no, I must be firm. I must make a stand. I cannot tell a lie. I must be honest. I must be upright. I must, because I've got to, but because I love the Lord, because he loves me. And what he commands me to do is for my good. And so this fear of the Lord is that which will cause us to depart from evil and also from error. It will cause us to be very sensitive to worship, to the atmosphere that we are gathered in. Is it reverent? Is it sincere? Is it spiritual? And when I say that, we may say, yes, well, if I was in a place where there's a lot of excitement, irreverence, and so forth, of course I shouldn't be happy. And no, you wouldn't. But look, you've got to look at something else. You could have an assembly with people well-dressed and most suitably applied, attired, and yet just a dead profession, just resting on outward show. Friend, we want, with the fear of the Lord, we pray not only the preservation from error, but liveliness in the ways of God and continuing in prayer and in worship to seek grace to worship him in spirit and in truth with reverence and with a godly fear. So there's error to be departed. Anything that goes against the word of God, we must shun. Now again, the fear of the Lord brings with it wonderful blessings. You see, I sometimes feel, perhaps with our younger friends, they have a not a right balanced view of the fear of the Lord. They view it, and rightly so, as I have expressed it, in its separating influence, but they do not see, do not know, and perhaps sometimes have not been told of the blessings of the fear of the Lord. For in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his people shall have a place of refuge. The word of God is full of exceeding great and precious promises to those who fear God. They shall lack nothing. Now, there will be times when the fear of the Lord may be bring us into a place of testing, and may even bring us into a place of loss, may mean a cause of sacrifice of something of earthly goods or wealth, and with it will be the temptation of the devil to say, well, you're an utter fool for doing such a thing. But friend, I'm sure of this, that those that may even suffer for a time maybe financial loss or the ridicule of the world for standing firm to the truth and in love to their Lord, that they shall be blessed with that quietness of mind, that calmness of spirit, and that they will prove that he is that place of refuge for them. But look at a word, it was on, I had to turn my one of my text calendars over a day too fast, but it came it's really for tomorrow, but it's another word concerning the fear of the Lord that we find in the book of the Proverbs. And if I can lay my hand upon it, I think I've got it. It was this: by humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the promise? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Just comes to my mind as an example of this, as you think of Daniel. There's a vivid example of the fear of the Lord controlling his life to the scorn and envy and hatred of those around him. And that when they sought to examine his life, and they did, they could find no fault. Now, we must be quite clear, it doesn't mean he was sinless, but he was honest in his work. This is the challenge of a child of God in our daily life. Now, look what it meant to him, and look what it called. It meant the den of lions. But he proved God was with him. And what a fearful destruction there was, an end of those enemies of Daniel. But we must not digress too far. Joseph comes to mind. This did not I. Was it? No, Nehemiah. This did not I for the fear of the Lord. Joseph again, when tempted with the lust as a young man, in away from in a strange land, and everything in the background most suitable for the fulfillment of that lust, like David fell into it, and Joseph, no, he was kept in the fear of the Lord. And we need it. Let none think that they are so strong that they will not fall into temptation, into sin. If you know your own heart, you won't trust it. The heart by nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I feel it more than ever. And we need the Lord to keep us and to uphold us. But now, just, and we must not tarry too long, but just taking up one or two of the promises of the Lord concerning those who fear him. And I was thinking of those words in the Psalms where we read this, that the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy. What for? To deliver their soul in death and to keep them alive in famine. What a word it is. What a comfort this is. And then again, and I think it's in the an earlier psalm, the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There's a secret. That is something revealed. The world doesn't see it. The world doesn't understand it. But the Lord speaks, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them that covenant ordered in all things and sure. He will show them that they are they that whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. He will show them that they are they that are born again. And those that are born again that walk in the fear of the Lord are pardoned sinners. I know. We pray for the witness of the Spirit. I know that we pray and do desire earnestly for the full assurance of faith. And then again, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And so they that fear the Lord, but unto you that fear my name. These are they that speak one to the other. I wish we were more free to do so. Sometimes we feel so tired, don't we? I was just saying last night, I went to the service at Horam, got there much earlier, and yet I can't describe it. I had an urge to be there long time before the service. There were two services, so there was an interval in between. And I was talking with one of God's servants and the deacon then, really, I shan't forget it. The strengthening, the union. You see, it's a bond. And it draws together. It's heart burning, warming, and speaking of the goodness of our God. But some say, ah, that cuts me right out. I can't speak. The word of God doesn't cut you out, friend. It says that think on his name. Does that gather you in? Your heart must be the witness. All those times in your little room at home, or even in the busy scenes of life, suddenly you're thinking upon God. Your heart is up to him, perhaps for help in some difficulty, wisdom that you need, or perhaps you feel, oh, I've failed, I've sinned, I need forgiveness. Some decision you've got to make. Yes, Lord, guide me. Yes, and some sweet thought, perhaps unexpectedly, of the Lord Jesus and his love. Some word of scripture coming with sweet power right into your heart, and you weren't even thinking of it. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now unto you that fear my name. Just one more reference. I said that that the fear of the Lord will bring us at times into the path of testing. And who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. So, friend, do not be too dismayed, because we're just coming to this next word. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The Son of Righteousness. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And this is light for our darkness. Now look, let's just view the alternative. Let's look at ourselves before we're called by grace. I hope I don't have to say to any, and I don't know, that this is your sad and solemn state because you have not as yet been called by grace. Darkness. just view the state of the lost. Darkness. It can't be denied. The scriptures are a closed book. They may know about the scriptures, may know about the death of Christ, may speak, and rightly so in that way, of the wonderful example set, but they're in the dark. There's no transformation in their life. And then to think of dying in the dark, and to think of that eternity of darkness, wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a word it is, what a work it is, too. That light from heaven, that light that reveals, yes, our sinnership, brings us to a sense of our danger, shows us our poverty, shows us that we cannot save ourselves, shows us that there is only one way of salvation. It's a light that shines on the cross. It's a light that directs a poor sinner that is groping his way, fearing and trembling, and yet reaching out after Christ. It points to the cross. Was it not evangelists that said to Christians, "See yonder light at the wicket gate, pointing the way forward"? And as I think of it, I think of the brazen serpent set high upon the pole, and it is said, and I think rightly so, that made of brass or copper, as we would understand it, set high there with the brilliant sun, that a light would shine, it could be seen. Oh, my friends, when we hear of the death of Christ, I'm reminded of that word, "These things were not done in a corner." Yet they are hidden to those that are as yet dead in trespasses and sin, but revealed to those who are born again. And that hymn that you've just been singing will be the expression of the very desires of your heart. "Give me Christ, or else I die. It's Christ is my only hope." And here is this light shining, and this light that shows the way of salvation, this light that reveals preciousness of Christ and the efficacy of his precious blood. "Lord, bring it into my soul." But I feel that you may say, "Lord, I feel so dark, I feel so barren, I feel so destitute, there's so many clouds, there's so many mists and fogs around me." Oh, friend, never lose sight of this. The sun is above the cloud. That's the mercy. And it does disperse both cloud and mist and fog. There are times, I remember one particular occasion in Southwest Wales, where there was a sea mist, and with my dear one, and I never forgot it. I know she didn't either. When I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't clearing that way up or that way. It was as though somebody had taken the whole lot and just swept the lot away in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. There was no appreciable change of wind or anything. It was just gone. There were beautiful islands in the distance. You could see them, but they were there. I couldn't see them with the mist was there. They were out of my sight. Friend, remember this. Though you cannot see him, he's still there. He still loves. He still cares. And there are times when you fear, will he shine again into my heart? And what is the effect of it? The shining of your Saviour's love into your heart. Oh, the warmth. You see, there's warmth. I want to be very careful now what I say, but if you have a dung heap and the sun shines on that, it emits a dreadful stench. I feel that's a description of the ungodly. But where there's a seed, or where there's the sun shining and the showers, it promotes growth. It speaks of fruitfulness. Where the ground, take the winter season, and earth stood hard as iron and water like a stone. You say, Lord, that's just like my heart. Don't we mourn over it? Don't we grieve because of it? But you know, when the sun starts and it comes, now, naturally speaking, it may take time, but gradually, it may be gentle. Don't you remember, as I do, sometimes the beginning of a thaw, and you listen, drip, drip, very little, gradual. But friend, here, spiritually, it can be in a moment of time. Your hard heart soften. Oh, it's a precious experience. And it may be, as I remember particularly in my own life, as I've explained to you before, when I was in the Air Force and the Lord was reserving me from a path, keeping me from making a mistake, and had laid his afflicting hand upon me, and I was recovering, but then had a recurrence of the affliction, and I was in a dreadful state. Both I could hardly swallow, and yet I was expected to attend a church, religious church service, and I was on convalescence, and I felt so dark, so low, so depressed, so cast down. I felt as hard as the seat I sat on, harder than that. And it was, the service was nothing, nothing. I got lower and lower until the Son of Righteousness arose. The Son of my soul, the last hymn, S-U-N, Son of my soul, thou Saviour dear, it is not night, if thou not, he came. Transformation. Affliction was there, weakness was there, but my Jesus was there. Oh friend, when he comes, he's the Son of Righteousness. And for you, a filthy sinner, that's the wonder of it. And it's his love. And remember, there's but one Son, but one Saviour. Remember, there's a glory of the Son too. And there's a glory of our Redeemer. You could not look at the Son in its blaze with your natural eye. It's more than ever we can bear. His glory. But friend, there's coming a day when the redeemed shall be gathered in glory, and we shall see him, because we shall have eyes that we've never had before. We've had an eyes to see through a glass darkly, glimpses of Christ, but there we shall see him in the full blaze of glory. Oh, how wonderful. And it won't be a natural son. Even that one day will pass away, but not our Jesus. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. For unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Oh, that he may come. And then what does he say? What's the effect of it? Arise with healing in his wings. This word wings means beams. Beams of his light. Beams of his love. Tokens for good. Reaching right down into your heart. You. That's amazing. Think of the greatness of your Jesus. Think of the greatness of your Jesus. And think of you as a sinner. And that he should shine into your heart. And those healing beams of comfort, that broken heart of yours, that bruised spirit of yours, that distressed that you may be passing through, all that you're passing, healing with warmth, love, light in his beams right into your very heart. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, the wings of the morning, we read, the beams. Again, when we think of the night, and we don't often see the rising of the sun, but I think one of the joys of going away on a holiday when you leave, as we did, have done of recent years, about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. So what a wonderful sight it is. And we do remember from the air the amazing sight to see the dawn. But friend, yes, the night's so dark, but it passes. And the Lord will come. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever. That means no separation from that sun. Maybe many days of darkness, and some are self-procured by our sinfulness, our worldliness, and our failings, but our Jesus will still shine. And ye shall go forth and grow up as cars of the storm. Ye shall go forth. This speaks of liberty. This speaks of life. I've never seen it. I would love to. But my farmer friends in Wiltshire have told me that when the cows have been kept in through the winter months and the springtime comes and they're set out into the field, it's an amazing sight to see those creatures enjoying after a long time the beautiful grass and the fields. Friend, perhaps you feel, shall I ever be free? Shall I ever be set free? And perhaps you look back at days of liberty, but you see, oh, I'm so bound now. I'm so tied now. Oh, will he come again? But, friend, he comes. This sun of righteousness shining, and that drawing influence, that loosening influence, to you shall go forth into sweet liberty and grow up as cars of the store. Here is a setting forth, as I understand here, this going forth, as you think of these creatures set free and the liberty and walking. And yes, the thought comes here of the yoke, two yoke together. Those who fear the Lord walk together in love and in union. But I mustn't digress too far. I want to come to this last clause, and grow up as calves of the stall. To seek this growth in grace. I've already hinted at the sun in its warmth, where there's a root, where there's a seed. How the calves, the farmer will seek that they shall grow, rightly so. And are we concerned about our spiritual health? When I was a little boy, I think about every few months, my mother would take me and stand me by a wall and see how much I'd grown. Well, is there growth in grace? Is there growth in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Are we growing more like him? Are we walking more tenderly in his fear? Is faith strengthened? Friend, may there be this growth, spiritual enlargement. I pray that we may be brought to a concern over our spiritual health. Now, I know, and the Lord will answer our prayers sometimes a way we don't expect it. Growth in grace. Now it's right to pray it. And the Lord makes no mistake with us. But to grow in grace means that we've got to grow less. We've got to be smaller. We've got to be more humble. More Christ-like. And that means the burning up of the dross. What a distinction to those in the first verse where there was neither root nor branch. It's all dross. But here is something apart from the dross that's in, it is indestructible. And so we need grace to be patient. But just one more word, I see the time has gone. Yes, there comes the end of the journey. Thy sun shall no more go down. neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. The city had no need of the sun. I should have just mentioned earlier, and I leave it with you, it is from the sun that the moon and the stars have their light. It is that from the dear Saviour that the church shines and every believer in it. But as that light shines within us, may it shine out. As Moses upon the mount, he wist not, but they could see that his face shone. May we shine forth as lights, but the prospect of glory, and where we shall see him as he is, and that sun shall never more be hidden, no more clouds, but to shine in Emmanuel's land forever. Amen.